You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is great to start a brand new week of broadcasts. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Do remember the resource of the month, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, the book available when you support the ministry all this month. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web address that I just mentioned, equip.org. Also, just a note about how significant it is when occasional givers become regular givers. We do deeply appreciate those who make occasional gifts, but regular gifts are so important to the sustainability of the ministry. You can join the CRI support team as a member by simply going to the web at equip.org/donate. And when you become a regular support team member, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Please keep that in mind. It would really help this ministry help people quite literally around the world. The board is completely full. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go first to Ryan. He's listening in Canada, Alberta, Canada, on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I was addicted to pornography before coming to Christ, and that baggage didn't disappear when I came to the Lord years ago. So it was a constant fight with the flesh. Sometimes I feel I didn't even put up much of a fight at all. So my flesh is weak. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. That really shook me up, but it allowed me to get real serious with my sin. Mm-hmm. Feeling godly sorrow, I was able to fully repent of my sin and have not fallen back into it since, thank God. I love the Lord now more than ever, even despite my condition. I'm producing more spiritual fruit than ever, trying to use my remaining time, bringing people to the Lord, bringing glory to his name. My question is, how can I be assured that the warning in Hebrews 10:26 doesn't apply to me as a believer, desperately and genuinely seeking forgiveness in Christ and restoring that relationship? It tears me up thinking that his mercy, love, and goodness would no longer be available to me anymore. My heart wants Jesus more than anything, even more than beating this disease. I'm hoping you can calm my troubled heart. I just fear I've stepped out too far, or I've sinned too long, or gone on in willful sin. Maybe you can help me understand how that applies to me.
Well, it doesn't apply to you. I can say without any equivocation whatsoever that the intent of your heart, so beautifully expressed in the prologue to the question, demonstrates that you are a child of God, that you are in his hand, and nothing will snatch you out of his hand. You obviously, as a believer, need to partake of the means of grace. We partake of the means of grace through communion or union with God that we experience daily as we commune with him in prayer. We experience that unity or this communion with God as we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we do that, we are, in fact, inner penetrated by divine energy. That does not mean you'll live forever, but it does mean that you can experience Christ in a very real and tangible fashion. And I think what you have been communicating is that you are experiencing Christ. You have a heart that yearns after God like the deer pants after water brooks. You think of the horrendous sins that were committed by the quintessential king of Israel, King David, and yet he was restored when he prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." When you have a heart that seeks after God, God is not saying, you know, there was a technicality in your past, and that technicality now excludes you forever. That's not the message of Scripture. Rather, the message of Scripture is that if you desire Christ, Christ is yours. And you have already pointed out that Hebrews 10 does not apply to you. Hebrews 10 says that if you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, which means that if you're continuously, willfully rejecting the love and grace that could be yours, there is no hope of redemption. But far from rejecting, you have received the grace that could be yours. So this does not apply to you. You're not apostate. Rather, you are apostolic. You are following the grace and goodness of God.
What about the word sanctification that's used in that passage? Sanctified. That term's used in there. I'm assuming it's not talking about the Christian experience of sanctification.
Yeah, think about the context in Hebrews. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of God? In other words, rejecting the one whose blood is in the covenant. You are one who has come under the influence of God's covenant blessings and has professed to have turned away from darkness to light, and therefore you have been sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
And I assume your assessment of, I guess your assessment of me, I know they say sometimes that the church is a spiritual hospital, I guess your assessment of me would also hold up for Hebrews 6, 4, as well as Hebrews 10, 26 that we just discussed, that those simply don't apply to me because, you know, Christ is still there waiting for me, ready to, running after me, ready to forgive me and ready to restore that fellowship.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell by the tenor of the conversation that that fellowship has been restored, that you are experiencing communion with God. To fall away in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to a Hebrew or a Jew who falls back into bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through that which was finished by Christ. So someone who professes Christ, not someone who possesses Christ. You are not a professor, someone who is professing Christ, but someone who in reality is possessing Christ. Christ is yours and you are his. And therefore, of a surety, I can tell you without one ounce of equivocation that you are his and he is yours. If you desire to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, he's not going to keep you out on a technicality. Those who have committed unpardonable sins are those who willfully, continuously, in an ongoing fashion, reject the love and grace that could be theirs.
No, it's beautiful, Hank. I like I said, I know that you'll understand it, but I want and I need Jesus more than I need to beat this cancer. He's more important to me than a cure. He's the most important thing in my life, and it's totally, you know, this cancer gave me a wake-up call, and if it was God, you know, restoring anything that needed to be restored, I look at it as a blessing. So that's wonderful news to hear that, you know, I can go back to Christ with confidence and just continue walking with Him. That's wonderful.
Yeah, continue participating in His graces. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much for Ryan, his testimony to the world even at this moment, an unflinching testimony of your grace. And Lord, we confess that we are all sinners in thought, word, and deed. And we thank you so much for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that restores and refreshes and cleanses from sin. Oh Lord, I pray that you will give to Ryan an unshakable certainty that he is yours and you are his. And Lord, I pray that he may be a continual testimony to your grace and love and power, so that as people see him and see that he has experienced grace in the midst of pain, that they themselves may be cleansed and purified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Ryan and his testimony, not only to your body, but to a watching world. We pray this not by might, nor by power, but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you, Ryan. I don't know what I can do for you, but if there is anything I can do to be a support to you, please let us know.
Perfect. No, you've already been such a support to me, just building me up, helping a wounded brother just gain some confidence back to go, you know, into the throne room and, you know, as Christ is an advocate for me, and just having that confidence, knowing that, you know, he's still there for me, and that's huge. That's all I want.
He's there more than ever. Bless you, my brother.
God bless you, Hank.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bob next. He's listening in Indiana, NRB Television. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
I have two questions. I think one of them will probably just record or a short answer, but I don't know. But you know, I have been reading the Bible, and I have a hard time understanding. It seems like there's parables and different things that come along. You say, well, what is this and what is this? And I know that James says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And I have asked for that, but I'm still having a real problem understanding a lot of the scriptures. Pray about it, and I just having a tough time.
Yeah, I think what's important first and foremost is to understand the main and the plain things of Scripture, the deity of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of sin, the sufficiency of the canon, the Word of God, which is inspired by God, the Trinity, which is on the one hand unknowable, incomprehensible, on the other hand we can apprehend from Scripture. One God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. The resurrection, which gives us hope. Even as we were just having a conversation with Ryan, we realize immediately that the ultimate hope is not to come to a peaceful way to avoid the maladies of life like brain cancer, but rather to overcome them through the power and certainty of resurrection, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the reality of being new creations in Christ. The old is past, the new has come. And the fact that Jesus most surely will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. Those are things that are main and plain in that they're simply apprehended in Scripture. They're clearly communicated such that a child can understand them just as a theologian can understand them, or at least apprehend them. from the pages of Scripture, but there are many secondary issues that take a lot of work. And I say they take a lot of work in that they're both a science and an art. The science means that you master the rules or the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation. The art in that, the more that you master the rules and the more you make application of the rules, the better you get at it. So again, it is an art and a science, and you become a person who is proficient rightly dividing the word of truth, as opposed to one who must blush with embarrassment because they do not know how to rightly read Scripture. You become that through effort. What I can do is I can send you a copy of an outline that I did using the acronym LIGHTS. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart that teaches you the art and science of biblical interpretation. If you hang on, I'd be happy to put that into your hands. Coming right back after a station break with more answers to your questions, so please stay tuned for that.
We're losing our young people to atheism and materialism by the millions. The great tragedy is not that we're fighting these battles and losing to superior arguments or worldviews. Our superior arguments are simply unknown by far too many Christians. To help remedy this problem, CRI is offering Frank Turek's fascinating book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be right back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Reformation Project seeks to change the Church's traditional views on homosexuality by training an army of Church members to rebut biblical arguments against same-sex sexuality and to use a set of talking points to persuade traditionalists to adopt the revolutionist position. Sean McDowell examines the most critical of these talking points in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you want to get a preview of what the journal looks like, go to equip.org. You'll see a picture of the journal there. It is an award-winning magazine that blends two things. One is fantastic content. The other is the way that it is presented. It is an absolute piece of art. And again, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal on the web at equip.org or write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike in Wichita Falls, Texas, listening on NRB television. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I thank you for your ministry, my brother. Listen, I'm a new Christian, and as far as it's been 4.5 years or so, my wife and I put on Christ in baptism. And I've been listening to you frequently as much as I can, and I really do appreciate your ministry. I have heard so many things in my church where I go to about the differences in other denominations and what they think of our denomination and so on and so forth. And as a new Christian, you know, I can't help but think that these are all man-made things, you know, and how do I nail it down to what is true? Because one church will say, tell you one thing, one will tell you another one. In reference to taking the life of another person, those people, was it in Georgia or South Carolina that the young man went in and killed those people? I have what we call a concealed weapons license, and I'm a very adamant person about protecting my family as well as any other innocent person. And I'm wondering what the Bible has to say about such things. And I know it talks about not murdering and turning the other cheek and different things like that. What is your opinion on having to take another person's life, if indeed your life or that of another innocent person is going to be in jeopardy?
Well, I think you sort of alluded to it already. True love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor, and such love sometimes requires the use of force. We needed to use force to stop an evil, aggressive empire, the Nazi empire. And in the same way, police sometimes need to exercise force to protect civilians. And in a like manner, as you allude to, it may be necessary for you to protect one of your children or your wife from the evil of an aggressor. So there's nothing in the Bible that precludes doing that. Again, you can use weapons for defensive purposes.
Well, and also, they're having a big dilemma about whether to allow this on college campuses and things. What is your opinion about people who may take their weapon into church?
Well, I'll tell you what we did to try to grapple with this. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal that gives you both sides of the gun debate. I personally do not consider myself to be an expert on this subject. I have never carried a weapon. I don't ever plan to carry a weapon. And so my own personal predilection in this area may be different from that of other Christians. But so people can actually grapple with the issue, we did an article that gives both a pro and a con both debated by Christians, and I think in a very able fashion. So let me recommend the Christian Research Journal on that issue. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tiffany in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
My question was, can you be in a Christian cult such as the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, or anything like that, and still be saved?
Well, I wouldn't equate all those groups. They all have distinctions, and I don't know that I would use the word cult for Adventists. I mean, I think there certainly are Adventists that are very cultic. I have run into my fair share of them over the years who have said that I have taken on the mark of the beast because I worship on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. They also are very vehement about Ellen G. White as a true prophetess, and they try to forward with great dogmatism their distinctives, including soul sleep. So, but there are also Adventists that don't fall into that traditionalist category. So I don't put them in the same category with Jehovah's Witnesses or with Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons in particular, if they are consistent with their view, which is to say that they, with forethought and premeditation, continue to reject Jesus Christ as the creator of all things. They are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting an essential of the historic Christian faith. The Bible is absolutely clear on this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. To deny that is to deny an essential of the historic Christian faith. When I say Jehovah's Witnesses do this by premeditation, they actually take the sacred text of Scripture and insert the word other into the text that I just quoted. Such that Jesus is not the creator of all things. He himself is a created being that becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And so you have a direct volitional compromise of the sacred word of God. And the Mormons do the same thing. They relegate Jesus Christ to be the spirit brother of Lucifer of all things. So they are compromising, confusing, and outright contradicting essential Christian doctrine. And if they do that with premeditation and forethought, they are not Christians. They're demonstrating that they have denied the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In fact, the Bible uses the word antichrist for this. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist, is against Christ and the precepts and principles of his kingdom.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thanks for your call. We'll go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Linda. She's listening in Hillsboro, North Carolina. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. Hey, I've actually got two questions, but now that I've been listening, the most important question I have is from Hebrews 6. I was a born-again Christian 40 years ago, and I went to a Gnostic Bible classes, and through what I learned there and some disappointments in the church that I found, I fell away. And, I mean, boy, did I fall away. I looked into Wicca. I looked into Native American shamanism. And even at one point, I referred to myself as a born-again pagan.
Hmm.
Now God's called me back again, I think. And in Hebrews 6, it says, you know, for those that have fallen away, that have known the truth and have fallen away, that there's no way of getting back.
Well, there is, Linda, and as I explained to Ryan in the first segment of the broadcast, what you have in Hebrews is a letter to Hebrews who are falling back into Judaism. They're falling back into bondage to the law. And even those who fall back into bondage to the law can be redeemed by the grace of God. No one is outside His grace except those who spurn His grace. And someone that communicates, as you have just done with tears, is not spurning the grace of God, but very much desiring the grace of God. So you can forget those things that are past, and you can press on to the high calling that God has given you in Jesus Christ, and that is to grow in His grace and mercy. There's no question that you are a participant in the kingdom. You desire the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's what it takes to be a participant in the kingdom. Now you can continue to grow in grace and knowledge. But Jesus, as I said, to Ryan, is not looking for some kind of technical glitch to keep you out of the kingdom. He has done all that could be done to save sinners like you and I. I have been involved in gross and horrendous sins. I was a pagan for the better part of my life until I was 29 years of age. I did not want a relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet God has not only redeemed me, but He has restored the years that the locusts have eaten. In other words, He has taken those practices and those times which I thought were wasted years, and I can see day by day, even as I do the broadcast, how He uses that time to empower me to communicate now to people on the air through my writings and else in other fashions.
I had accepted Christ, but then I fell away. It sounds like you started out, like you said, you know, in paganism.
No. I started out in the church. I was born in a very committed Christian family. I didn't, oftentimes get the answers that I wanted for questions. There was a certain theistic fatalism in the particular denomination that I was part of, and I couldn't get satisfactory answers to my questions, so I assumed that there weren't satisfactory answers to my question, and I fell away into another form of fatalism that is part and parcel of philosophical naturalism. So I denied Christ for many, many years. But the point is not whether you are born into a Christian home or not. That isn't even the point. The point is, at this moment in your life, do you desire Christ? If the answer is unequivocally yes, then you are His child. It is a matter of now growing in grace and knowledge. I can't ferret out whether you had a said faith before or an actual faith. I don't know. You may have walked away, apostatized, but that does not mean that you cannot return. The only ones that cannot return are the ones who willfully continue to reject. It is the unforgivable sin historically of the Pharisees who knew that Jesus was the only one who could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophets, and yet with premeditation and forethought in a continuous fashion rejected the love and grace that could have been theirs. You remember Jesus saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, how long I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." That's not true of you, Linda. You are willing. And I declare you are a child of God. We'll be right back.
Richard Dawkins admits that the amount of information in a one-celled organism, such as an amoeba, has as much information in its DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. Now, believing that 1,000 encyclopedias came into existence without any intelligent intervention is like believing that an entire bookstore resulted from an explosion in a printing shop. Many more reasons to believe can be found in Frank Turek's latest book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Other topics include evaluating the Star Wars worldview, organ transplantation and human value, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. For nearly 40 years, the Star Wars motion picture saga has captivated audiences the world over. With three new films on the horizon, Star Wars remains culturally relevant and iconic. Its music, sound, visual effects, characters, and extensive merchandising resonate with millions of people. But technical brilliance and commercial success do not always equate with truth. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and fine-tune your cultural discernment with the article, May the Force Bewitch You, Evaluating the Star Wars Worldview. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Duane listening in Quincy, Massachusetts, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
With Halloween coming up,
yeah.
My question is it's related to celebrating Halloween as Christians. When I was growing up, my mom initially we did. She's not from this country, but we started, and then she heard a program, maybe such as this one, where she found out that, you know, that it was of the occult and everything like that. And so what was seemingly innocuous with costumes and stuff like that became, you know, something that was, demonized. And I live that way. Like now, like I don't celebrate Halloween in general. My answer usually Halloween parties for work is I'm a Christian or I don't celebrate it. And you know, if there's a raffle, I'll donate. But you know, I've been questioning in general if this is something that I've adopted without thinking about it critically. So I was wondering if you could tell me if there's a an easy answer about Christians participating in Halloween celebrations, parties, trick or treating with kids, costumes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you're a wise man. You're thinking about this critically, and I think that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to get the facts and think about what are the facts. And we can learn a lot in this regard from how the early Christian church responded to Halloween. October 31st, the eve prior to All Saints' Day, was designated as a spiritually edifying holiday, or more specifically, Holy Day. It was a holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the gospel over the superstition of ghosts, and therefore All Hallows' Eve, from which the word Halloween, of course, is derived, was an attempt on the part of the Christian church to overwhelm the tradition of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. So the trick is to treat Halloween as a strategic opportunity rather than a time of satanic oppression. The origins of Halloween are clearly pagan, and Halloween has devolved into rank paganism again. But what's beautiful is to see how the Christian church seized the day, seized the opportunity, using every opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So rather than simply throw up your hands and say, whoa, this is pagan and I don't want to be impacted by paganism, they recognize greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I think this is one of the critical principles in spiritual warfare to recognize that when Paul talks in the premier passage on spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, he starts out by underscoring the power of God to protect as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. And so what we are called as Christians to do is put on the full armor of God. Talk about dressing up for Halloween. Put on the full armor of God. And when you do, you're invincible in spiritual warfare, and you can use the opportunity as a place to be a witness in our culture.
Well, thank you very much, Hank, for that insightful answer. I appreciate your time, your help, and your ministry, and I hope you have a good one.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sally next in Linden, Washington, listening on KARI. Hi, Sally.
Hi there, Hank. Hey, thank you ever so much for taking my call, and I just respect you so much, and I'm a regular prayer warrior for your ministry and a supporter financially, and you're the highlight of my day. I'm home with disabled girls, and so I'm home a lot, and you're just a highlight when you come on.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much,
anyway,
Sally.
I just am really struggling. I have two females that I'm really close to that they're sisters, and they were born with a genetic disorder at birth. They almost died, and because of it, they had to be on hormones their whole life, and which resulted in they were obviously real manly, you know, throughout all their life. They're on prednisone and various medication, and they're both lesbian. One of them went out and actually blatantly went and got married even and had a ceremony, and they claim to be believers, and they go to church where, sad to say, the pastor is lesbian, which is so sad in our culture, and but they say it's just too hard the way they are to not be lesbian. And I just think, is the Lord, can they be believers? And is my first question. And another question is, if they are, will the Lord be a little more gracious to them on Judgment Day? Or what are your thoughts on this? I'm a little confused.
Well, I think first you have to not buy into the cultural narrative, which is that someone is a lesbian in the sense of that is their identity. Their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ is that of females. So what they're engaged in is a behavior, not an identity, but a behavior. And you need to get that straight, because otherwise you buy into the cultural narrative and you say, well, they're lesbian. No, they're not. They're women. And to take an identity and communicate, or take a behavior and communicate that as an identity, I think is a serious error. You know, the issue about how they explain this to you is worth noting as well. They say it's really, really hard, difficult, and so forth. Yes, it is. I mean, we deal with very hard, difficult things as human beings in general. You think about males lusting after females. That's hard. That is a temptation that you have to subject to the power and resources of God. You think of people having to manipulate their way through life as opposed to trusting the providence of God. Manipulation seems easier, but trusting the providence of God will get you further in a much safer fashion. So the point here is that if you live your life within the parameters that God sets forth for you to live within, then your lives are going to be full of joy and peace, though in the midst of difficulty. So Christianity is not promising anyone a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, but rather a way to overcome those maladies through the providence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only directs us in how to live, but actually comes to live within us. Now, there's a great thing going on here, and that is they're going to church. I mean, they have a spiritual thirst. But if you go to the wrong church, what happens is you get spiritual cyanide as watering as opposed to pure crystal water that really satisfies. And what I mean by that is if you really want to be a participant in the kingdom, you don't follow a particular preacher that rewrites the Bible or reads meanings into passages that the passages aren't intended to communicate. But you actually say, wow, I really love the Lord, and I want to know, I have his user's manual, I want to know what he says about how I live my life in the best possible way, the way that will be most satisfying in the end, though hard. And that, of course, is the Word of God. That takes the discipline of learning to read the Bible rightly, as well as recognizing that it is a reliable authority. And it's very, very tough today, because there are a lot of people telling you that the Bible is not a reliable authority. Not only that, on the other side of the coin, the culture through TV, through magazines, through movies, etc., has inoculated people against Christianity. They've shown airbrushed pictures of same-sex sexuality such that you think, whoa, I've seen this growing up for years and years and it all looks so wonderful. But everything that looks wonderful may not be so wonderful at all. I mean, it is that beautiful apple, but it's laced with cyanide, and you take a bite of it, and just a little taste can kill you. So what seems right is actually not right. It is a path that leads to death. And so I think that what you can do is communicate these kinds of things, first and foremost, that it's not a identity, it's a behavior. But you communicate those things as you have the opportunity, with gentleness and with respect, but recognizing there is no accounting for the human will. In other words, if someone will not, oftentimes it is not because they can't believe, it is because they won't believe, because what it takes to believe is an alteration of your lifestyle, and that's difficult for many people.
Yeah, especially in this situation when they were born with this genetic disease, you know. That's, now, do you think they honestly can be believers? You know, they...
Well, here's the thing. If you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, then you want to invoke the principles and precepts that he sets forth for you to live within. So it's possible that they're misguided at first, but as you give yourself wholly over to Christ and you start to understand, wow, this is what Christ says about how I should live my life, then you can no longer say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ if you're following along in your own path. So you become the determiner of whether you really are a follower of Jesus Christ or only say you are a follower of Jesus Christ, because Christ for many people is just a means to their own ends. So he isn't the end, he is a means to an end, and that, of course, is a very dangerous proposition.
Uh-huh. Okay, Hank. Well, thank you so much. That clarifies things in my mind. I mean, I know where I stand with homosexuality and lesbian, but this is kind of a special case. And
it is, and I don't negate that, but that's why I spent the time talking about the fact that life is hard. It's hard in one way or another. Either
that's
we're born
so
with,
true.
It's just difficult, and that's why seeking to live the Christian life on our own is a prescription for disaster. We live the Christian life because of Christ, who becomes engrafted within us, and he lives his life through us.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Hank. I've tried to get through for a long time, so I really appreciate it. Thanks again for your ministry.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling, Sally, and for your support. Your prayers and finances really do make a difference. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, what I do is made possible by people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You can join the CRI support team as a monthly support team member. When you do, it be please to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend, and you in the process turbocharge the ministry so it can reach many more. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate on the World Wide Web. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
What if your best reasons to doubt God prove that he exists? Many atheistic arguments, instead of disproving God, reveal that he actually exists. Find out how in Frank Turek's recent book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Stealing from God. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case.
Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.